Sign of the times. Anybody need a squirt? You know, really, this scare and this thing going on with the coronavirus is really, it's a good opener, because the songs like the girls were just singing, "What Have I Done to Deserve a Love Like This?" Church has become, in my opinion, different than what God wants it to be. It's got to be there's a whole different purpose for it. And one of the purposes for church, you being connected to God, is that God is the only one that will have the answer to some of the problems that we're going to be facing. Whether it be a virus, whether it be a war, whether it be an illness, there's going to come time in your life when God is absolutely the only one. He will be the only hope for you, because with God it says that we will have life eternal. I love one of my favorite little short tiny verses in the Bible is in 1 Corinthians, and it says that Christianity is not a religion about words, but about power. And what I don't see as much today is power. So what I want to talk about today is the purpose that we come together and do this. It's not about hearing me preach. It's not about hearing these girls and their beautiful voices, but that brings us into a time of worship. But it is really about a time for us to connect and recharge with the God that has all answers, that has all power, and is the only one that will be able to see you through life no matter what you're facing. If you're really young, you may be facing a time, well, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. Or maybe you're getting ready to get married, and it's like, God, I'm not sure what I'm doing here. Will this work? Is this the right thing? We go to God for all things. And in all things, with Him, there are answers. So today, let's just take a little journey. I'm going to read one of my favorite Bible stories here in a minute to you, but I want to lead you up to it. Is, you know, speaking of all what's in the news and that today, the world obviously is lacking joy and peace and love. It lacks those things. And the reason it lacks those things is because there's not enough people, and this comes from this book, that are connected to the vine. And what that means, for those of you that haven't read this real good, is, in other words, it says there's not enough people connected to Jesus that stay where His power comes through to go out into the world and change the darkness and the misery and the lack of love and the fear. We are Jesus to the world right now. That's what the church is for. That's what I want this congregation as we grow. The reason we want to grow, and I'm going to keep hammering this, has nothing to do with I want to build a big mega church. I don't want a mega church. I just want these pews filled with people who need to know the truth about Jesus, because it will change your life. But all of you have a role in that. Every one of you in here have a role in that if you accept the role. And it's simple in one way. It's to stay connected to the vine so Jesus is sapped, his energy, his power. We were talking about this last week, how power works, will flow through you. And that's where I think the church misses it. The power must come into and then flow out of you to into the world, into the darkness. And that's the reason we live in a world right now filled with fear, filled with anxiety, filled with disappointment and anger and frustration. In case you, I don't watch the news. I really don't. I just refuse to do it. But I do get this little app on my phone that gives me the top 15 stories. And I mean, rarely is it good news. As you know, when you look out into the world, it's pain, suffering, evil, this, that, the other thing. So the reason we want to come to church is not to fill ourselves with a nice little motivational talk that Kent Studi gives, because that's a waste of time. Plus, I'm not very good at it. That solves nothing. The reason we come here together is to really kind of like light a fire for God to come into us and to fill us, so that, there's another favorite two words of mine. So, why do we do this? So that we can go out into the darkness and be Jesus to the world. Because we are put here as Christians, if you become a Christian, to be Jesus to the world. And that's where the church is failing today. Church has become a self-contained, absorbed thing where, you know, I hope I can go for an hour, get entertained, hear some good music, a motivational talk, and I'm out the door, and then it's forgotten until next Sunday. And that has nothing to do with Christianity. That's not what the Bible says at all. The Bible says Jesus is looking for people to connect with Him, allow your heart to be filled so that we can go out into the world. That's what we're commanded to do. And bring love, basically with one word, is to go out and love people in their misery, in their fear, in their anxiety, in their illness, in their nakedness, while they're in prison. We are to love these people. And so in other words, the mission of the church, and we are the church, this isn't the church, is to bring others into this amazing love that God has for us, because it's life-changing. And what it does is when you're filled with the Spirit of God, and it's not always easy to be filled with the Spirit of God, but when you are, you become a light unto the darkness of the world, because you enter into other people's suffering. It is a call. It is not come to Sunday and sit in a pew. We need to do this because the reason we come together and the family is here is because the light that we shine in one another is similar to building a fire. It's hard to light a nice fire with one log. If you add more and more lumber to the fire, wood, you can have a big, hot fire. What I want is this church to become a big, hot fire of Holy Spirit love, so that it is so warm and beautiful and so much light that people will say, "What do you have that I'm missing in my life?" Then we're fulfilling our purpose of Christianity. And it's only then. We can build the choir, which I want to do, until that there's 50 people up here. We can build this church until there's people that up in the balcony everywhere else. That will do nothing unless there's a Holy Spirit fire burning here that we're all part of that will change the darkness in this world. And the only way to change the darkness in the world out there is to enter into it. And that's what none of us really are that big in doing. You know, people say, "Why, Kent, why do you go visit people at the hospital?" Especially, I see more people that don't even come to this church than I do with people. Luckily, I don't want to see you in the hospital. But I go to the hospitals regularly. People call me. They have nothing to do with this church. But I go because I am called to enter into people's suffering and try to make it better. I don't know what I'm doing. I have no more skills than any of you. But if I allow the love of Christ... This is important. There's something I learned some years back about love. When you're young, a lot of times you think, well, love, I know when I'm in love because I can feel it. I feel it. I love that person. I love that girl. Man, I feel it. Or I love that boy. Love is not a feeling. I want you to write this on your heart. Love is a decision. Love is a decision that you decide to take action to enter into a person's life to lift them in some way, shape, or form. That's what love is. It's a decision. It's not a feeling. Can there be feelings associated with love? Absolutely. But, you know, today's day and age, with the divorce rate and that, people think love's a feeling. As soon as that feeling goes away, well, must not be in love anymore. I'm down the road. It is a decision, like Christianity is a decision. You come here and say, I don't know, do I want to be part of this? Because to be part of this is to enter into suffering. That, believe it or not, is what Christians are called to do. What did Jesus do in this world? He didn't hang out strictly at the temple so he can live in a big house and have a great big choir and sit and be fed and sit at the head of the banquet table and have a big salary and drive a car and whatever, or a camel back then. The reason Jesus had power, of course, he was the Son of God, that had a little bit to do with it, but he gave us a demonstration. He entered into people's suffering. That's all he did. That was his entire life. And Jesus told his disciples, listen, if you know me and you see me and you see the things I'm doing, then you know God the Father and what he wants. That's what he wants us to do. Enter into people's suffering with love. And love comes in many ways. And if you read this in the book of Matthew, it says, well, what is love? Well, love is this. Jesus said, it's when you clothe the naked, feed the hungry, visit those in jail, help those who are sick. I mean, love comes, it's always an action. It's something you do, it's not something you feel. There's no way to know this. You can't really tell from the Bible, but I'll bet since Jesus came in pure humanity, there were times when he got up in the morning and probably thought, man, I just want to sit here and have my coffee or whatever they drank back then and not go out into that crowd where all that leprosy is and these people that, you know, they're blind and they're hurting and they're crippled and they're dying and they're hungry. And I know what some of you are going to say because I feel this way every Sunday. God, what have I got to bring to anybody? I'm a sinner. I'm a saved sinner, saved by grace. But I recognize I don't have the skill set. I don't have the knowledge. I talk to Ken every Sunday before we come up here. We meet down in the kitchen and we have nice conversation. We have a little church then. And I tell him every Sunday I come here, I'm going, what am I doing here? I haven't figured out half this. I don't know what it's about, or a tenth of it. I'm still trying to figure it out. But here's what, when I read it, here's a little parable that comes to mind. Or not a parable, a story. When Jesus fed the 5,000 people, as the Jewish people say, there's always 70 meanings to all the stories in the Bible. Well, they were talking about the Old Testament, but I like that. I think, you know, when you read the Bible, God wants to speak to you individually. So I tell people here, listen, I'm going to tell you what I believe God's been speaking to my heart, but please don't take that to the bank. You read the story and see what God says to you. Because that's what he wants to do. Am I talking too loud, Cooper? He's what? Do you like it? You want to come up here with me? In a minute. You'll wear me out. You're getting chubby. So here's, you know, what do I have to give? How can I be light of the world? How can I be salt of the world? How can I be Jesus to anyone? Well, you look at the power. Christianity is not about words. It's about power. And people say, well, I don't see anybody with power. You're right. You probably don't because people don't get it. They don't stay connected to the vine. I tell young people, let me ask you something. How many times do you charge this? Once a week? For an hour on a Sunday? Or do you get up every night and you plug it in so you've got God's fire? That's being staying connected to the vine. Because when you're not connected, what happens? You can't use it anymore. There's no power. Same thing. It's Christianity. So here's the story of the Bible. So Jesus, he comes across. He's out teaching. 5,000 people are sitting out on the mountainside. And they're hungry. And his disciples says, what are we going to do? And They anticipate what Jesus is going to say. And they go, I guess we better go to town and try to buy some food. Because Jesus says, you feed them. And they go, well, we got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. There's 5,000 people there. In other words, if you look at this as like an analogy, Christ's teaching is so deep. It's that we have crumbs. And you want us to feed 5,000. Well, the power of God, Jesus said, let me show you. And he blessed the food. And he connected to the power of God and fed all 5,000 people with food left over. Amazing miracle. But what that says to me is when people say, I don't have anything to give into this darkness. I've got a job. I've got a baby to take care of. I'm worn out when I get home. What can I do other than to fill my own needs and try to be comfortable at home? And that's not what our call is. But God says, give me a crumb. Give me a crumb of what you got. Ask for my power to come into you, and I will send you. I will make you a disciple, and you will have power like you've never seen, and you can change lives. It might be one life, it might be 10, it might be 1,000. We talked about last week, little Agnes Bohaju, also known as Mother Teresa. There's a little girl had nothing in India and ends up, you know, saving millions of people. Why? She took a crumb. And let God expand it. And every person that wants to become attached to the vine and stay close to Jesus has that potential. And that's one of the only reasons I keep coming here is I say, God, I have a crumb. That's all I have. I'm going to need your help to talk to these people because I have no clue otherwise. And then God put this thing in my heart, 125 people, we're going to build the choir. We want to get on fire for people. Why? Not to have a full church, but I want to see people filled with the love of Jesus Christ that can go out there and change the world. That is what Christianity is about. It's not about attending church or singing in the choir, even though that's part of it. But that's the least part of it. So, today, I'm going to read a story, which is one of my favorites. I've read it before, but it is so powerful to me. It says so much to us about how it works. Because you might be out there right now going, well, okay, what do I do? I've been coming to your service. I've been listening to you. But still, I don't think I have a spark in me. I don't know who to visit. I don't know who to call on. I don't know who to do. I'll write a check and throw it in the offering, and hopefully the church, which we do, we feed, we clothe, we do this. But when you get involved personally, the call is for you to step into the suffering. And that is when you will be blessed beyond what you can imagine. So you'll be, those of you who read your Bibles, you're going to be familiar with this, but man, the depth of teaching in these things are amazing. So here, this is Jesus just starting his ministry. It says, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, big feast, big festival, the mother of Jesus came to him and said, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. In other words, his full ministry hadn't started yet. And his mother said, and then looked to the servants and said, do whatever he says to you. And she walks away. Now there were 6 water pots of stone sitting there, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece, filled with water. Or they were empty, these pots sitting there. Then Jesus said to them, go fill these water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And then Jesus said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. And when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made to wine, he did not know where it had come from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew. And the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk the inferior, then they send that out. However, you have kept the good wine until now. Okay, nice little story. Jesus does he brings wine to a big festival. Why? So that their joy may be full. But that is just the tip of the iceberg of what this teaches us. Here's the big points in this that all of us can apply starting today. It says, here's number one. There was a wedding in Cana, and as Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. Nothing with power is going to happen in your life. The power that I'm talking about, Holy Spirit power, until you invite Jesus into your life. That's number one. Jesus has to be invited for anything to begin. Okay? Number two. What happens next? Jesus' mother comes to Jesus. He's been invited. And she says, hey, we're out of wine. Very simple. We are out of wine. So now you've invited Christ into your life. And now you face issues. You face problems. So what do? You go to Jesus. She went to Jesus, her son, Jesus, and said, here's the problem. And she must have done it in complete faith, because he even responded, wait a minute, what does this have to do with me? And then what does she say? Another important thing. Do whatever he says to do. And that's why we're not seeing power in our lives today. In other words, I've invited Jesus in my life, and I go to him with my problems. But now what is Jesus saying to your heart? Is he saying, hey, listen, you have to go forgive that person that you've had this issue with for 40 years. Call them, forgive them. Or you, or maybe it's you need to go to your neighbor and do what it, he is going to give you something that you have to do before what? Before you see the miracle. And there's where most of us fail. Listen to this. His mom says, do whatever Jesus says. So what does Jesus say to do? He tells the servants, see those big six pots of water, these huge clay pots, which had to be heavy, even empty. He said, go put water in them. Now think about this. If you were a servant, you're worn out, you're tired because you're serving all the time, and you know that there's wine needed at this wedding, and then Jesus says, hey, you guys lift these big heavy pots, go fill them with water and bring them back. I don't know how much a 30-gallon pot of water would weigh, but I would imagine it's heavy. So if you think about what most servants today would probably say, I'm not going and filling that with water. We need wine. I'm not doing it. I'm out. Go fill your own pot with water. That's what happens to most of us. I'm not doing that. That's nothing to do with getting wine. The only way they saw the miracle is when they did what Jesus asked them to do. Jesus must be invited. You must bring him the problem. And then you must do what he says to do. That is the only way you'll see the power of God and the miracle in your life. Here in America, right now, the leading nation of being out of shape and overweight is America. We're the worst. We have more overweight people, more out of shape people than anybody in the world. You know that we also have the best and the most equipped gyms and coaches than anybody in the world. Now, there's a breakdown somewhere. It's painting a picture of Christianity to me. Because both cases of, I want to commit to Jesus, I'm in, until he tells me to do something I don't want to do. No miracle, no power. I want to lose weight. I want to get in shape. Okay, see this gym? It's got $10 million worth of machines in it. You can come out of here looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger or whoever the female bodybuilder is. You could do it. You could do it. And I've got a coach for you. But I'm all in until, that's hard. So what do you see? No change. You know, that's why what they say in January, all the memberships throughout the country, they're just, you know, you can't really get a place to get in the gym. But by February, it's empty again. People are not willing to stay connected to the vine. In that case, the vine would be the coach, the one that would drive you to do what's necessary for you to see results. We live in a society that, we want it now. I want instant Christianity. Just mix a little of this good flavored juice in the water and drink it, and I'm good. If you read the Bible, it's about you learning how to love people in a way like you've never understood before. And the only way to experience the power and the miracle-producing power is to enter into the misery. Now, there's 1,000 ways for you to enter in. There's 1,000 ways for all of us. God has a way that you can enter in. I don't know what that is. I'm not going to sit here and tell you. Because I don't know. You have to go to God. But just like this wonderful little story about when Jesus turns water to wine, it is, you go to him, you invite him into your life. You go to him with your prayers. But what we miss is, okay, I hear your prayer. Thank you for inviting me in. You're a member of this gym. Now here's what you have to do to get what you want. And that's where 99% of the people drop out. Just like at the gym. I am so thankful to see new faces in here. My prayer for you is that you connect with something that's been said here today. That God's speaking to your heart as a young person, as doesn't matter, old person, young person, a baby. I want people to know the life-changing power of God. Because when it comes down to it, here's the deal. It is only through the power of God that someday you will walk out of this life into eternity with God and meet those that you love that have gone before you. It is through Him. It is through Jesus. Jesus says He is the only way. He is the gate. He's the one. That's why we do this. But there is power that He wants us to have now. He wants this world to change. We are the church. We are the one. We are Jesus to the world. You can either accept that or not accept it. It's a challenge. It's big. I know your life is busy. But I'm going to tell you something. Those with super busy lives doesn't mean it's a fulfilling life. The only way you're going to achieve the maximum amount of fulfillment in your life, and I can attest to this, is when you surrender your life to God and begin doing the things that He wants you to do. That is where fulfillment comes. Right, Floyd? And it's taken me a long time to learn that, but it's true. That is when you know the power of God. So as we get ready to close here today and have the girls come up and sing, I want to have a little prayer with you, and you girls even sing about a song about changing water to wine. Yeah, why don't you do that? We'll just see unrehearsed. I like unrehearsed church. I mean, if you can find it and throw it out there, I mean, I think that'd be a good one. That'd be a good one to do. Let's have a prayer before these wonderful ladies sing the Spirit right down into us. Father, we come before You with our crumbs. I pray that You would talk to every heart here today. Open that inner ear, that inner place, so we can hear the Holy Spirit's voice and give us direction so that we can reconnect to the vine, if that's what's necessary. And give us the courage and the strength to say, I will do that. I'll take that heavy pot, and I'll go ahead and fill it with water, even though it makes no sense to me whatsoever. None. I'm going to step out in faith so that this religion, this church experience, isn't just about words and music. No, it's about power, Your power, in the way to change things. That's what